If you would please remain standing for a reading from the gospel. It's the gospel according to Luke in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 38th verse. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. And there's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, you'll notice the picture on the front of the bulletin doesn't match the story. It's because when I was working this week, I was planning to do the other Mary and Martha story. And this picture. That's the other big Mary and Martha story. And then I realized that I just preached that like 2 months ago. So I switched it up to talk about this Mary and Martha story, which I have maybe never preached before, but certainly not preached in a long time. But it's all a part of our series on Jesus and women, the interactions that Jesus has with the important women in the scriptures. And part of what we're doing in this series is a bit of deconstruction on the things that we have been taught in the past and the things that we have assumed and the things that have been passed down to us on these stories. Maybe the biggest one is that these are not women's stories. Today's story is a good example, one that's often been talked about as if it only has women to speak to. What are women's proper roles within the church? But the truth is, this is about instructing discipleship. Not about instructing women. Often this is interpreted as about women's roles in the church, religious education, household income. But actually the Greek word that's used here to describe what Martha is doing, right, where it says that she is doing her duty, her work, the word is one that I've talked about a good bit in here. It's diakoneia, and it is related to the word diakoneia. It's related to the word deacon. The word that we use for deacon, which is a word that you're probably familiar with, it's church service, right? Working for the church. It becomes an official term, essentially, within the early church. And so when it's talking about our service here, it's a word that's used often in the scripture, always in the positive sense of people who are serving Jesus, serving the church, serving the disciples. So if we look at here, and Francis Taylor Ginch points out that we need to look at this in a wider context of the scripture, of the story that Luke is telling. And remember, as I've talked about before, that these gospels were read out loud, right? When they were written down, they were written from the oral tradition, and people would just come and read the whole gospel to the people. The people couldn't read themselves by and large, so a messenger would come and would read the gospel. So you wouldn't hear this story in isolation in the way that we do it. You'd hear it within the context of the larger story that Luke is telling. And within that context, you would see that this story comes right after the great commandments, right after the lawyer comes and asks Jesus, what are the most important things that you need to worry about in the life of following God? And Jesus says, you're probably very familiar, right? He says, love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus goes on to tell a story about how to love your neighbor as yourself, and one that we're very familiar with, the Good Samaritan, right? The story about who is my neighbor, and he tells this story about how you do this and decide who's your neighbor and how you should love your neighbor. So then this story can be very clearly seen within that larger context as the explanation of the first commandment. How do you love God? With all your heart, your strength, your mind, and your soul. And very often, as Jesus does, he doesn't just tell a story. Sometimes he does, sometimes he lives it out. He acts it out for his disciples to see how you do this. And he does it in a way just like the first story that we can all relate to, right? We've all been encountered with someone who needs our help, and we have to decide what to do. That Samaritan story is so familiar to all of us. This is another scenario that is so familiar to all of us, right? This is not like some of the other stories, like this story that I was going to preach about where the dead is raised, right? Not like some of the other Jesus and women stories that we've shared where water is turned into wine, where people are raised from the dead. This is something that we all experience. Task saturation. Being overscheduled. We all deal with this. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, this is particularly telling and speaking to me. I love tasks. I love efficiency. I love getting things done, checking them off my list. I mean, I can just hear the next part in this scene after Jesus explains to Martha, you know, that Mary's going to keep sitting at his feet. I can just hear Martha walking away saying, well, the supper's not going to make itself, Jesus. I don't really. But Jesus gets to the core of the problem. Remember, the problem isn't the service. It's not the Christian service that she's doing for Jesus and the disciples. Jesus tells her what the problem is. He says, you're worried. The equivalent there could be anxious, anxiety. You're weighed down by this anxiety. And then Jesus goes further. He says, he doesn't just say it, you're distracted. That's the translation we have in this reading that I did for you. But a much better way to hear that word is you're troubled. You've got this anxiety that's got you troubled down in your deep in your soul. It's weighing you down. It's causing you to miss the one thing that's needful. Because this worry and this anxiety, it's bothering her. It's not the work that's the problem. The story is not about the conflict between Christian service and Christian devotion, as so we've often been told. This is a story about anxiety that's causing great distress. And we are able to see very clearly how that anxiety and worry is a barrier. It becomes quickly a barrier between her and her sister because she gets frustrated. The anxiety drives her frustration with her sister, and we all know that frustration is just the sister to anger. But not only that, it's interfering with her relationship with Jesus. See how she addresses Jesus. She fusses at him, and she tells him what to do. You need to do this, Jesus. That doesn't happen very often in the Scripture because their anxiety has blocked her so much from what's happening right in front of her, from the relationships that are possible, the love that's being shared, the teaching that's going out. But Jesus speaks to her with great compassion. That's the good news for us. We who are weighed down by anxiety and care, troubled and distracted by the weight of the world. See, Jesus talks about this a good bit. He talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not worry. Trust in God. God's got this for you. Isn't it just like the birds of the air? God takes care of them. Won't God take care of you? Now, so often what we struggle with here, what I struggle with hearing, is, well, yeah, but what about the work? Well, somebody's got to do the work. He's not saying don't do the work. He's saying don't worry about it. Don't have great anxiety about it. Don't let it consume you, where the work distracts you and inhibits you from the one thing that's most needful, the better part. John Wesley writes of this, that we were created to be in loving relationship with God, and that our sin has broken that relationship with God, so that recovering that relationship is the one thing needful. That's what we talk about when we talk about sin and forgiveness and reconciliation, right? And when Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor, it's all talking about this, recovering that relationship and the relationships that we were meant to be in, the loving relationships that we were made for. That's the one thing. John Wesley says it's so needful that this alone is to be had in view and pursued at all times, in all places. Now here it is. This is the part I love the most. Not indeed by neglecting our temporal affairs, not by neglecting the work that needs to be done, the Christian service that is at hand, but by making it all minister unto the one thing that is needful. Making all that we do, all that we say, all that we are. Right? Remember our loving God with all our mind and soul and strength, our body, soul, spirit, heart. All of those things working together for that one thing, bringing us back into that relationship that we were created for. And so in this story, Martha has this opportunity to rebuild, to be building a better relationship with Jesus Christ, to hearing His words, learning from Him. She's missing it out because the anxiety and worry is weighing her down. Don't let that happen. God has given us the freedom. By the Holy Spirit, God has given us the freedom to let all things work together for good. That all things might work together for that one thing that is most needful. Bringing us back into relationship with the God, helping us to love God and love our neighbors. And so often, I know that you're thinking, well, I just don't have time. Just don't have enough time. Martin Luther was known to say, I pray 2 hours a day unless I have really important work to do that day. Then I pray 3. You don't have time not to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.